In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Gospels are full of very minute details that are very important if you read them spiritually. But I think especially the resurrectional Gospels have these marvelous details that if you pass over them too quickly, you don't see them. I believe that's why it's so important for us to hear them in every matins, every Saturday night matins or Sunday morning matins, because with the repetition, some of these spiritual things become evident. And this gospel, this is the 10th gospel, 10th of 11, is full of beautiful spiritual details that really we can barely understand. We just get a glimmer, but they're just fantastically beautiful and wonderful. This is about Jesus being on the shore and the great catch of fish with my favorite number, 153. And it starts out with Jesus, St. John says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And there's two very important details here that, to be honest with you, I hadn't really understood before until today. They're commented on in the Fathers. One of these things is that he showed himself. Now, generally, you wouldn't speak of that way when you say, I go and show myself to somebody. Well, of course, if you're in their presence, you're there. They see you. But that wasn't the case with Jesus. His body was a resurrected body. His body was a body that was human, but spiritually perfected, and therefore invisible to those that were not perfected. Did you know that? He had to choose to show himself. That's why Mary Magdalene at first did not recognize him. And that's why Luke and Cleopas did not recognize him. And that's why the apostles, I guess there were probably seven of them, I think, that were fishing, did not recognize him at first. He chose to show himself to them. And then the mystery is, why didn't they see him? Why didn't they understand? Well, he was perfected. His human flesh was not subject to corruption or decay. Our flesh is. We live in a decaying state. He wasn't in that state. We can't even imagine what it's like to be in the state of perfection. I have not seen nor ear heard. But our Lord, who really shares nothing with us except that he chose to share our flesh of his own will, certainly not of our will, not of our ability, he, when his flesh was perfected, was very far distant from sinful mankind, even in human flesh. But he chose to make his flesh close to us, near to us, when there were opportune moments. This was the third time that the Lord had seen them. St. John comments parenthetically at the end of this selection. So he showed himself, and we don't see him because he's perfect and we're not. We should see him. He's present now. The angels are present now. The saints hear us. And yet, do we see them? Do we see the angels? Perhaps some of us have. But as a general rule, we live in the mundane. We live carnally, and therefore we don't see spiritual things. The carnal man cannot understand spiritual things. But the Lord loves us. And even his disciples, who were carnal, they were far from perfect, especially before the coming of the Holy Spirit and all the seasoning that would happen in their ministry, they couldn't see him. But he, in his love, chose to make himself visible to them at the proper time in this story. And so he's talking with them at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is pretty far from Jerusalem. It's quite a ways walk. So this is after the resurrection. They'd seen the Lord, and they'd become more courageous. They still weren't courageous enough to go out and start pounding down doors. They were still hiding from the Jews, but not so much anymore. There's a little more courage. And that reminds me of my life. That reminds me of the life of my flock. a little bit at a time. Sometimes we're very courageous, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we do good and sometimes we don't. Sometimes things that we've done well for a while, then we start not doing them well for a while. We're like Elias, who causes a great miracle, the fire of God to come down and consume all the prophets and the sacrifice and have all the prophets put to death. And then he's afraid and runs away. That's what we're like. So the apostles are like that too. Or were like that. Now they're completely without any fear. But at that time they still had fear. So they went to the Sea of Tiberias to fish because they were fishermen. What else are they going to do? They didn't know what to do. They had no idea what their calling was. The Lord had told them that he was going to make them fishers of men and everything else. But it takes time for spiritual truths to become evident in our hearts. We can know them and yet we don't know them. I see that in my life every day. And I see that in the life of my loved ones, my flock, every day. There are things we know, but we don't know. So this is kind of an indication of that. They were getting a little bit more courageous. Not courageous enough to preach in front of the Sanhedrin and convert 3,000 people in a day. Not that courageous, not yet. But they were getting more courageous. It's a process. It takes time. And really, if you don't have enough courage, I guess you just try to get more courage. But you can't snap your fingers and have more courage. If you don't have enough purity, you can't say, okay, I'm going to be pure, that's it. I'm glad that's finished. Or I'm no longer going to get angry. Or I'm not going to feel jealous anymore. After all, jealousy is a stupid passion. It makes no sense at all. You can tell yourself that, and yet still, the next time somebody has something that you want or something that pricks your conscience, as the scriptures, or not the scriptures, but the prayers say, been wounded in my heart. I don't remember if it's morning prayers. I think it's evening prayers. Seen the beauty of someone and been wounded in my heart because of it. When that, you can't just turn that stuff off. And the apostles couldn't just all of a sudden become great clarion voices being sounded forth across the world. No, they had to first get out of the upper room and sneak off to the Sea of Tiberias and do some fishing. And maybe dare to go into town to buy bread or something. It all is a process. And that's all evident just in these simple words that are without explanation. They're just sort of biographical details, historical details. But they're very important to us because they really talk about the details of our life. It's important to never be satisfied with who you are. Absolutely. But it's also important to be satisfied with who you are becoming, to recognize that God is changing you. So that's something the world doesn't understand. The world thinks that in order to have a good self-concept about yourself, you have to accept yourself as you are. That's a lie. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Do not accept yourself as you are. You're not good enough yet. None of us are good enough yet. There's a lot of stuff wrong with us. But God is working with us. And we'll go from Jerusalem, hiding in a room, to fishing, to catching men, to being sounded forth over all the world. Whatever those things are that apply to our lives, we're not going to be apostles. So that's very beautiful. And reading this over and over, hearing it every 11 weeks, really resounds in my soul, and I hope it does in yours too. I hope it gives you great hope, great comfort. There's a saying, it's a very beautiful one. I'm not the man I should be. I'm something like a couple other things, but then at the end it says, I'm glad I'm not the man I used to be. That's us. We're not the man we should be. But we're not like we used to be. Some changes that have happened. Glory be to God for it. Absolutely recognize it. I don't know how I developed this idea. I really think it's just God. Because I'm not really a very clever fellow, but this has always been a part of my counseling and confession. That trying to get everyone to recognize the things that God is doing in their lives. Okay, yes. you lie, but you told the truth last week, and it hurt a little bit. Yes, you're impure, but you did struggle against impurity last week, and God helped you. Or you're jealous, or you're lazy, or you barely say your prayers. But if there's progress, then we must recognize it. It's not out of pride. It's out of recognizing God working in our lives. So that's everything I get out of, literally, the fact that they were just fishing in the Sea of Tiberias, which was, I don't know how far from Jerusalem, a bit of a walk, quite a walk away from Jerusalem. And so they're all fishing, and that they are at night, and that night they caught nothing. Oh, that's a phrase that's really pregnant with meaning. That night they caught nothing. Well, we have to be patient. We have to be patient. It takes a long time for things to happen. You want to be free of your passions? It's going to take a long time. I also take out of that phrase that they weren't ready yet. The Lord said they were going to be fishers of men. They couldn't even be fishers of fish that night. They weren't ready yet. They were being prepared, but they weren't ready yet. Sometimes you try to do something and you just can't do it. You just don't have the ability to do it. You try, but you can't pull it off. But if you continue to try, continue to make an effort, God will help. Truly, there's many times in my life when I feel I'm in the middle of the night. Many, many times. And because of my weakness, sometimes it causes me great emotional pain. It shouldn't. It happened to the apostles. It happened to the saints. We just have to be patient. We have to fish through the night. But then we have to be ready to listen. So the Lord is on the shore. And he says, children, do you have anything to eat? The disciples, it says, knew not that it was Jesus. Yet another really beautiful, sparse phrase. They didn't know it was Jesus. He's calling out to them, just like he did 3 years ago. And they didn't know it was him. He was shielded from them. We don't exactly know how he looked. I think he looked the same, but he was just so spiritual, so perfected, that carnal people can't see perfection. They misinterpret it. They look past it. It's invisible to them. And so he says, go and put your nets on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. In the first fishing expedition, 3 years ago, he didn't tell them to do it on the right side. He just go out and let your nets out for a draught. But after some seasoning and after some teaching, he said, do it the right way. Put them on the right side. Now, the right has always been indicative of blessedness and obedience to God. Now, that's a very important thing. I think about this often, this particular phrase. It's hard to do things the right way. The right way doesn't seem so right sometimes because it doesn't seem like it gets a whole lot of success. The right way can be a very lonely way. You can get called a lot of names. I've been called a few names in my day, slandered in certain ways, for just doing things the right way. And doing things the right way is hard. And it's very easy to choose to do things the wrong way. But it's always wrong to do things the wrong way. And it's always right to do things the right way. And I've tried to live by that creed. Now, I live by it poorly. But I can tell you honestly, it's always uppermost in my mind every day. So I can choose the wrong way, but it doesn't feel right to choose the wrong way. Sometimes it's out of weakness. Sometimes it's out of exhaustion. Sometimes it's out of depression. Sometimes it's out of some passion or just weariness. But it's always wrong to choose the wrong way. It's always right to choose the right way. That's not a syllogism. That's really, really true. And that's the way you got to live your life. In this day and age, people are choosing the wrong way all the time and still calling themselves Christian. You have to have the courage to choose the right way. You have to have the courage to have your opinions be the right way. No matter what people call you, no matter what you're labeled. I see this happening, being on some mailing lists sometimes. I see Orthodox Christians who are falling in with the times and are falling in with the jargon and the language of the times because they're afraid to be labeled as being unloving or hateful or racist or phobic. Always do things the right way. If they had put the nets on the left side of the ship, they wouldn't have caught a thing. They were told to do something, and so they do it. And I advise you also that in your personal life, do things the right way, not in an obsessive compulsive way, but in a careful way. So as a priest, I'm stuck with this all the time, that I could do something easier. You know, I'm tired. I've been working all day. I feel a little stressed out, whatever. And we're going to have a feast day. And I could kind of choose not to do litia. After all, you know, half of my people are gone by then anyway. And, you know, but, you know, I got to do things the right way. Every time I choose to do things the right way, God bless us. Sometimes I feel it right then, sometimes later. Sometimes I don't feel it at all, but God is still strengthening me and helping me. It's important to do things the right way. So some of you sometimes have struggled with prayer, and you say, well, all I do is I say, you know, the Our Father in the morning. That's not doing things the right way. You can do better than that. You can definitely do better than that. Now, maybe you can't say the midnight office. Maybe you can't even say all of morning prayers, but I think you can do better than that. And if you have this idea that the Lord is telling you to do better, he says, put your nets on the right side of the ship. Do things the right way. So live in the right way. Now, you have to be careful. People who become obsessive, this doesn't help them at all. I mean, this does not mean that you read every ingredient list. And if you see whey as the, you know, second to the last ingredient, that you decide not to buy a can of beans or something. You have to have discretion, but you also have to have strictness with yourself. Be strict about the way you live your life. Now, if you're like me, you kind of come in, you're strict sometimes, and other times you're quite indulgent with yourself. But if you have a principle saying, I got to do things the right way, I got to speak out correctly, I've got to have the right opinions, I've got to live my life as a Christian, then God will help you. That's very important. I see many, many Christians nowadays that are having opinions just like the world. I'm not just talking about people that are not Orthodox. I'm talking about Orthodox Christians that have horrible worldly opinions about things because they listen to the world. And their source of information is TV news or something like that. And they don't put themselves into the Gospels, and they don't try to reevaluate the way they think about things and try to make sure they're obeying God. I'm telling you, as a priest, most of what I do doesn't work. It doesn't look like it works. I'd say it doesn't look like it works. I think a lot of it works, but I don't see it working. And that's difficult. It's really hard to do things over and over and feel they're the right thing to do, but it's not really, doesn't seem like it's making a change. But you got to keep doing that. And if you do, then you get better. And I've seen that happen in my life. I still struggle with this thought. And you know, when I read some of the fathers, especially like St. John of Kronstadt, he's very honest. Some of the other fathers sometimes, they go through the same stuff too. The Christian life is not just literally traipsing through the daisies, you know, singing ubladi ublada. It's not like that. It's loneliness, and it's pain, and it's doubt, and it's feeling betwixt and between. But if you have a principle that you're going to live according to the right way, you're not going to form your opinions according to the world, you're going to form them according to Christ. You're not going to live according to the world, you're going to live according to Christ. If you have that principle, God will help you. Absolutely. No matter how you feel. That's very, very important. And that's why it's so important to read this gospel at least every 11 weeks. One more thing about this gospel. It's too long to be able to talk about the whole thing. I'm supposed to try to limit myself to about 8 minutes, but I can't do the math. I need a timer instead of just a clock. I think I'm 13. I'm already at 20 minutes. That's one more thing. They cast therefore the net, and therefore they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. He says they weren't able to draw it. But then after Peter swims to the land, he draws it. He's not stronger than they are. He's just one man. I have a feeling, knowing Peter's character, that he was probably quite strong and probably stronger than two or three of them, but not all seven or all six of them. Why could he draw it to the land? Why? Because God gave him the strength to do it. There's all the time you have stuff that you're doing that you're not able to do. In fact, you're not able to do anything. You can't do anything. You can't love your neighbor. You can't love your spouse, your children. Neither can I. These are all impossible tasks because of our sins, and yet we become capable of doing them because God helps us. All those fish, we can pull them to land. This is not to have an inflated view of our abilities, but to have a realistic view of God. You can always do more than you think you're capable of. In fact, I would say this way, you can always do more than you are capable of. Now that's sort of an oxymoron in worldly terms. If you're not strong enough to lift a weight, you can't lift a weight. But in the spiritual life, when you're not strong enough to do something and you put your hope in God, God helps you. And that's what this phrase, they were not able to draw it to land. And then immediately Peter swims over and goes to the land and pulls it to land. Very hard to do. That would be a feat of Herculean strength. And it's there for a reason. Not to exalt Peter, but to say to you, and to me, we can do things that are well above our abilities every day. Every day. We can be stronger than the angels every day. We can be stronger than the universe every day. God can make us capable. So what's stopping us? Only one thing. Us. So may God help us to grow. It's going to happen. Over time, it's going to happen. Just believe it's going to happen. But the most important thing from this sort of ramble is this. Do things the right way. Don't be afraid to do things the right way. Don't be afraid to be called names because you do things the right way. Don't be afraid for people to look at you odd because you do things the right way. Don't be afraid to do things the right way and therefore incur difficulty or sadness or loneliness. Don't be afraid to do things the right way. It's always right to do things the right way. And it's always wrong to do things the wrong way. May God help us to remember this. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.